reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 6, text 42. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Parikshit Uvacha. Tatshrutva dushta kamshasya janani drishta chestita jarabhata vicharasa tasira kampana bhavit. Sri Parikshit said, upon hearing this, the mother of the wicked Kamsa spoke out, her head shaking, her manner bold, her judgment spoiled by age. Commentary. Padmavati was not at all ashamed of being the mother of Krishna's great enemy, begotten by the son Drumala. History records that when Krishna killed Kamsa, she lamented uncontrollably, even though all intelligent persons were pleased at her son's death. One second. Well, let me just say, I don't have cell reception in the place that I'm at. I hope I have enough phone juice here. Omigana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksuran Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vairagya Yug Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayam Amanabipsamandam Kripam Buddhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabham Asrayami Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Princeton. I'm here at this gathering I've been holding. I think this is the seventh or eighth year for young Vaishnav scholars. Those are in the academy, they call it, the academy. And also joined by Pajumna and Jayadvaita Swami. Just some really... let me see if I can share any of those. I thought one of the most interesting points yesterday is by Pradyumnaji. He's describing what does really Siddhanta mean. And the understanding, you know, that you reconcile different points to come to a conclusion. And to do that properly, you have to understand the... arguments against the conclusion given by other traditions. Anyway, I don't think this is going to go where I want anyway. I think I'll just begin on the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It has been interesting, but I don't know what I'll be able to share in such a short time. Anyway, let's follow Narada. Right now we're in Dwarka, and we're in the palace of Dwarka. And boy, that must be such a beautiful place. Dwarka, Prabhupada describes it in the Bhagavatam, how beautiful the capital of Krishna's kingdom was, 16,108 palaces. Prabhupada used a very interesting phrase about what the cities looked like back then compared to what the cities look like now. He said, dungeons of demons. Prabhupada also quoted Cooper, I forgot, one British poet, that the city is made by man, the country is made by God. Natural things are pleasing. That's a universal law. When something is nature, actually, when something, nature also means sattva. Sattva means the natural state of being. Like the mind, when it's in sattva, it's like a machine which is in its natural state. It functions properly, and there's a contentment, there's a clarity. When the mind is in a certain mode, the mode determines the perceptual abilities and the contentment that one has. So natural things are very beautiful. I remember I was once in a temple, and they had a little waterfall on the altar, and it made a sound, but the sound was pleasing. But a machine, somehow, it's not, you know, the sound is not pleasing. You know, somehow. So Krishna lives, and he's at his palace in Narada, in his search for the topmost devotee, wanders in a state of prema. Prema means complete absorption. Samadhi means complete absorption. And you're not thinking of anything else. You're not even cognizant of anything else. That's the difference between sadhana and jhana, both high stages of meditation. But the concentration at the level of sadhana is so intense that you're not even cognizant of anything else. And actually the essence of spiritual life is to imbibe or dwell in one's nature. And I mean, that's the highest state. That's prema. And there's no cognizance of anything else except reality. You're absorbed in reality to a so the essence of the Bhagavatam is to focus on the holy name of Krishna, a sangha, without any other attachments, alajja, without embarrassment or inhibitions. It's just a complete giving of oneself to God. And when one is really in that state, and he's not somehow inspired by God to come to the platform of madhyam, where you have some discriminatory powers, you have some cognizance because you have a service to do. Because generally when a person, you know, is moving, he's very cognizant of what he does in relationship to how others will perceive him. Therefore, he's very conscious to certain laws. Just like where I live upstate, people are very cognizant to mow their lawns because they know that's a big status, that's a big symbol there. That's what people do. They mow their lawns. So you have a cognizance of what people think, and therefore you don't disturb them, or they can understand you. So when one is at the state of prema that Narada is, he's so absorbed, that faculty of moving my actions or restraining my actions, or should be in alignment with certain social norms, that faculty of cognition is not there. So Narada kind of wanders in. Narada kind of wanders into looking for Uddhava, and Uddhava is near Krishna, so he comes to the palace. But Krishna has been himself in that type of stupor because he's feeling some intense separation from the residents of Vrindavan, so he's just kind of resting on his porch, and the key residents of Dwarka, including Uddhava. Uddhava is usually with Krishna because he's Parishad. Narada comes there, and they're really upset because love means when someone else's desire becomes yours. So if someone else is frustrated, you're frustrated. If someone else is happy, you're happy. You become one with the object of your devotion. That's what love is. The mother is happy when the child is happy. The mother is unhappy when the child is unhappy. If there's real, deep love and affection, that's what it means. The prime thing in your life becomes not what you want, not how you feel, but how others want and what others feel. So Narada, the residents of Dwarka are feeling for Krishna, but at the same time, they have enough awareness and they see Narada, and they can't understand Narada because Narada is not himself. He's not just playing on his vina, very classical ragas of spiritual topics, but he's in that kind of state of mind, and they are a little bit surprised, but they restore Narada's composure, even though they ask him what's going on. Narada explains he wants to meet Uddhava. And there's a reason he wants to meet Uddhava. He's looking for the greatest devotee. He's been directed there by Ugrasena. And being directed there, his search is also confirmed by Shastra, because Krishna had said so many amazing things about the glories of Uddhava. And so when Uddhava responds that, you know, he's not such a great devotee, which is the natural response for a devotee, he describes how his pride was crushed and doesn't really want to talk so much about it, because he says, I don't want to disturb Krishna, he's nearby, and everybody knows what I sang about the glories of Krishna. But Rohini, she can't help speaking out. And again, you love Krishna, you love me, you love my dog, you love Krishna, you love the devotees. So the devotees are really feeling the pain of the residents in Vrindavan, who are in separation from Krishna, and they're suffering. So Brihad Bhagavatamrita gives us some kind of glance. I thought I'd read those verses a little bit. Rohini said, "Alas, dear servant of Sri Hari," it's so beautiful. They say, I'll just read it. "Dear servant, the residents of Vraj have, by evil fate, all been slain. because life is their love, and without their love, there is no life. So in the absence of your love, you're finished. And in fact, there's a vyabhachari bhav, an emotion that comes from deep love, that in deep separation from Krishna, the residents out of that deep love, they die. Mityu is called that. That they actually, out of love, they die. That's an expression of their love. But they don't exactly die, but they're near death. They want to die. They feel like they are dying because they're separated from the object of their love. And this is not just a mental or emotional state. This is not just a mental state. It's not a question of the mind. This is a question of what the soul does in transcendence. The soul in transcendence is an abode of love. And that love is flowing through, it's such a wonderful concept that we are abodes of love, we are receptacles of love, and that love is directed towards everything, which means God. So it's an energy that flows from the heart, and there's certain feelings, there's certain circumstances in the divine lila of the Absolute that keep that energy of love and pleasure flowing to the highest degree. And that's times of union with the object of your love and times of separation and the feelings you have. So this is actually the Prayojana. This is the goal, to be situated in that divine lila and be an instrument, a receptacle for that divine love to flow through our hearts to give God pleasure. That's why you want to open the door to bhakti, you have to surrender. That's what the relationship, one of the functions of guru is. That's one of the requirements of disciple, is that they surrender. That one can be used by God for the benefit of everything, which is God. You can be used in that divine lila. You're not moving out of your role. So it's a very, very beautiful thing. And we see that in here, how they're feeling. The residents of Raja have been, by evil fate, been all but slain. They have lost the last trace of good fortune and are drowning in an ocean of gloom. Then there they suffer, poisoned and scorched in the flames of an underwater fire. So please do not destroy my moment of happiness by reminding me of them. Rohini is telling Uddhava, telling Narada, do not remind me of them. Don't remind me of them because they're suffering so intensely. And I love them so much that I will also suffer so intensely. So, if these sentiments are there, and really, in our spiritual practices, we should read these literatures, and we should somehow or other aspire for these sentiments. We should aspire to have a part in reality, in the divine play of Lakard. When Sri, this is Rohini, this is her bhav, when Sri Vasudev brought me back from Gokula, the cries of the greatly distraught Yasoda made even stone shed tears. Yasoda, can you imagine her cries, how heartfelt it was for Krishna? That cries, it was so much anxiety in those cries, that you had to feel for her. Can you imagine? I mean, when you listen to Leela and you're envisioning Yasoda, what are her cries like? What is she feeling? But they try to describe it here. What is the degree of her love that in separation she's so distraught that her cries, stones shed tears, stones, nothing can move stones. How powerful something to change stones. That's why they say your heart should not be like a stone. Because it means that no matter what happens, no matter what beautiful mantra comes, no matter what mercy comes, it does not move. But here, there's the stones, they're shedding tears. And lightning bolts shatter by hearing that. And who could let the mouth speak about the other women of Vraja, who after Krishna left became like corpses? So they're describing that she's crying, Yasoda, and she's so distraught. And you have to feel it. Even a stone feels it. Even a stone cries. And that's nothing compared to the gopis, who are like living corpses. They want to die, but out of love for Krishna, they have to stay alive and suffer so deeply. She says, but I'm not very intelligent. After your master returned from the house of his spiritual master, my sadness drove me to briefly house of his, how Vrajvasis were faring. So when Krishna came back, I think he was in Mathura at the time, when he came back, she thought, let me go tell Krishna about how deeply the residents of Vrindavan were suffering. One second here. I will.
Can I park here?
You can park here for a second, yeah. Can you shut the door because I'm giving my class? Okay. This, though, did not soften his heart, since all he did in response was send you, an expert in the clever art of delivering messages. So now it's actually getting into the... One second. Okay. One second. The conference is starting downstairs, but I'll continue here for some time more. This, though, did not soften his heart, since all he did in response was send you an expert in the clever art of delivering messages. So sometimes Krishna is criticized, but the spiritual platform is love of Krishna. So whatever emotions come out are born of something pure. So it's not this type of criticism. It's just a spontaneous expression of their love. And they have love also for the residents of Vrindavan, and they're just devastated by how Rohini's devastated by how they're feeling. And then says to Uddhava Rohini, and then he sent you, and that didn't soften his heart. Is this your Lord's greatest favor and mercy on them, as your words reply? So you're saying, Uddhava, you're saying that they're the greatest of the recipients of Krishna's mercy. You consider this mercy? The degree that they are suffering? Of course it is mercy, because the separation or distance from Krishna is not a physical proximity, it's a matter of consciousness. So if the absence of Krishna makes your heart grow fonder for Krishna, you're actually closer to Krishna. Because that's not material. So it's not under modes, it's not under material laws, it's under Krishna's will. And Krishna's will is that if you love him, you're with him, even if you're separated from him. My own experience is this. Actually, I'm getting, now I see this is the verse I did before yesterday. When Krishna lived in Vraja last week, so many calamities threatened to destroy it. Vraja was disturbed by demons from Putana to Keshi, by demigods like Varuna and Indra, by creatures like the python, and by the falling of familiar things at Krishna's house, like the cart and the Arjuna trees. But to these dangers, the residents paid no regard. So, Brihad Bhagavatamrita here, through the words of Rohini, now she's it's so nice. You see devotion through the words of a person, but you also see devotion through what those words describe. So describing the resident of Vrindavan, there's so many calamities, there's so many difficulties, but because they're so much in love with Krishna, and his desire is so much what their heart is, that difficulties that happen to them are not difficulties. And in fact, that actually is one of the main symptoms of prema, that when you are with Krishna, the greatest distress seems like the greatest happiness. And when you're separated from Krishna, the greatest happiness seems like the greatest distress. The classical example is Radha, a day in Radharani's life. The morning, she goes to cook for Krishna. There's 100 stoves. It's the middle of the summer. But she's near Krishna, and she's doing service for Krishna. And therefore, the distress is pleasurable. We may have a slight glimpse of that in doing something out of love for someone. The trouble is a badge. The trouble that we undergo is a badge of our love for Krishna. So we see spiritual consciousness, and we have to move this way. We have to move from looking at things as the object of our desire in a narcissistic manner, and we have to move to the platform of love, which is seeing ourselves as the object of the will and desire of God. God is in the center means that God's will is in the center of your life. A selfish person, his will, his desire is in the center of his heart, to the extent that if anyone changes or anyone in the environment is an impediment to one's own pleasure, for example, that person has the resources that we want to be happy, then a demon will kill them. That's the extent. I think sociologist Scott Peck wrote the book, The Road Less Traveled. I believe The Road Less Traveled is the road of doing what is right, which is God's desire, despite the troubles that it will entail. You can actually determine your individual saintliness to some degree by how much you are willing to do what's right, despite the difficulties and inconvenience it is to you. the more that the center of your life is your personal desires and wants. And again, let's not get confused about renunciation. God allows us, according to our condition and nature, to fulfill certain desires, and we can do it in a dutiful way, and we can have the enjoyment that we need to keep the body and soul together. But still, the personal saintliness will be determined by the extent that the desire and will of God, and a lot of desire and will of God for us is our own purification, that we're willing to follow that road of what is right and what is best, despite the fact that that road is a different path than the path of our desires, the path of our comforts. So who exemplifies that more than the gopis? They love Krishna so much. As if in trance, in each event, they only wanted to assure Krishna's welfare. They never thought about themselves. Again, think of a person you admire. It's not the person who's always thinking of themselves. It's more likely to be the person who is always thinking of others. So that's a basic paradigm of spiritual life, thinking of others. Jiva doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. Jiva doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. Jiva doi Krishna sarva dharma, the essence of all rightness, the essence of all dharma, jiva doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. It's to give compassion. What does jiva doi mean? Compassion. It means that the welfare of others, you're feeling others' pain, that the amelioration of that pain is more important than the amelioration of your own. And therefore you make sacrifice to give the holy name. I tell the story because it's so apropos of my uncle. It means my mother's first cousin, Rabbi Alexander Good, who, when he heard about the Nazis overcoming Europe and the forces of evil that were unleashed on the world, he enlisted, and they employed him as a chaplain, and he was on one battleship, the USS Dorchester, which was going from Greenland to England. And there were a lot of U-2 submarines, the German submarines, and their ship got hit, and these four chaplains, saintly persons, they worked to get everybody else off the ship, as many as they could. They themselves went down with the ship. So it's so admirable, it's so attractive, that the suffering and will of others was so much prime in their consciousness, their duty, what is the right thing to do, that that desire superseded even their desire for self-preservation. In natural fondness for their son of Nanda, they fully dedicated everything they owned to his pleasure. That's why it was a very powerful experience being with Prabhupada, as I remember going into his room, because it was so spiritual. And what does spiritual mean? Everything around him was for the service of Krishna, and intensely so. And that reveals Brahman, sacrifice reveals Brahman. That's the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It describes all the different kinds of yajnas. And yajna makes things spiritual. Spiritual means is when God's energy is used in the service of God, and the material energy is also God's energy. Even then, your Lord did nothing to help them, and who could bear to hear me say what he has been doing now to accomplish the goals of his other devotees? So he went to Dwarka, he went to Mathura. Sri Parikshit said, upon hearing this, the mother of the wicked Kamsa spoke out, her head shaking, her manner bold, her judgment spoiled by age. Padmavati said, just see, since childhood our Krishna has stayed in the forest full of thorns to guard the cows of those merciless cowherds. So this is just an envious person. She's the mother of Kamsa. And those persons are also in the Leela, because they have a role in the invoking of love for Krishna. Sometimes, just like Abhimanyu is the so-called wife of Radharani, and Jatila is the mother-in-law. And Jatila is the sister-in-law, and they are preventing Krishna from meeting Radharani. So they add the element of risk involved in the union of Radha and Krishna, and the element of that risk, that element of risk increases the love. They have never even given him shoes. Krishna walks barefoot in the Vrindavan. He has so much respect for the ground of Vrindavan. He walks behind the cows, because when the cows pound the, you ever see cows? They pound the pavement of Vrindavan, and when this is my New York conditioning. They pound the sands of Vrindavan, the ground of Vrindavan. And Krishna goes behind the cows to, with his feet, pacify the earth. He goes barefoot out of respect for Vrindavan. So now she's criticizing. They never gave him shoes. And if, when tormented by hunger, he sometimes ate a little stuff made from the milk, the coward women punished him by tying him up. And they scolded him abusively. Because he was young, Krishna had no choice but to tolerate all this pain. But what does he have to do for those people now? Actually, Rohini just ignores this. But she's actually pointing out what is Vrindavan. There's that Leela. It's so sweet. They want to punish Krishna because they love Krishna and he's naughty. And it's so attractive. Krishna's going into the houses of the different Brijvasis. Just imagine what that must look like. Krishna goes into the house of the Brijvasis, and he breaks the butter pots, because it's clay pots. They hang from the rafters with the butter and the yogurt. And he breaks them and he feeds them to the monkeys, and how upset they get. The kirtan is starting downstairs. I'm going to somehow have to stop now, but I could ask for some questions. Anybody have any questions? Anybody say hello? I just want to make sure people are still on. I didn't lose anybody. Hare Krishna? Okay, good. I just want to know. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Who's that?
It's Mother Kalini.
Oh, Mother Kalini. Hare Krishna. Very nice.
Hare Krishna. I have a message from Kishori for you.
You have what?
a message from Kishori for you.
Oh, okay.
I just spoke with her this morning, and she just said to please offer her obeisances, and that for some reason she can't get on the Sangha in Sweden.
Oh, okay. When is she coming?
Probably not till November.
Oh, okay. By the way, Mother Trini, a lot of nice people will be coming up there this week.
Oh, no, I'm going to be gone this week.
Oh, well, Jayadvaita Swami's coming up there, and Yajna,
no.
And Rasanath, and Radhavallabha, and they're going to come up.
What day do you know?
They're coming up the 16th, 17th, 18th. And I'm going to be in New York City. I'm going to miss it, too.
I'll be in Gitanagari,
Okay, well, what's wonderful these days, which I've never seen before, is that you're going to have to be disappointed because there's so many different things happening every weekend and every week.
Right.
So
right.
It's kind of like a nice disappointment. I mean, there's
right.
so many options, so that's good. Okay, well, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, and, Maharaj. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to write Mother Kalini because there's a very nice devotee that may want to stay in court where she is and who's working for the BBT, but I'll tell her that. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hari Bhav Maharaj, Shastra Das.
Okay, so Shastra, you should expect me today. I guess it takes about 3 hours. I should be there sometime between 6 and 8, hopefully closer to 6, okay?
Hi, Maharaj, thank you.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Henry.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. I think this week I'm going to try to nail down the dates to visit Washington in September when we can coordinate it. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Somebody else said hello there. Who is that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Nanda Dulal.
Who is this?
Nanda Dulal.
Oh, Nanda Dulal. Okay.
I
will
missed you a couple of weeks.
Come out your way, and probably when I'm out there, we should get together. Okay?
Okay, Maharaj.
I'll let you know, too. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Jaini Tai here. Greetings from Omaha, Nebraska.
What are you doing in Omaha, Nebraska?
I'll tell you later.
Okay, I'd like to hear, but it sounds interesting. Will you be in Washington in September?
Hard to know for sure. It seems like that.
Okay. Maybe, I'm going to be driving to Shastra's today later. If you're available between like 4 or 5 or something, I'm going to try calling you. Maybe we can just touch base. We haven't touched base in a while.
Okay, fantastic, Mamish. Look forward to it.
Thank you. And anybody else like to say hello?
You said hello. I don't know if you heard me in your life.
I didn't hear you. That's Mother Intrani. Okay.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. Yeah, there's some of our Sangha members are here in this little conference we have. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Govardhan.
Govardhan, it's so nice at your house on Friday. Was it Friday or Thursday? Any one of those days. No, it was Friday. It was very nice. Thank you. I'm definitely going to give class on Wednesday, too. I should be more regular. I really felt bad. I just missed the class on for no reason on Wednesday. It just skipped my mind. So Rucky always tries to keep me posted, so I'm really appreciative for that. Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you all. Hare Krishna. Panchakala Dipsit.